Greetings, everyone. I'm Ruth Fairfax Frazier, host of FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, here on Chris Radio. We have a very exciting program for you today. We're going to discuss accessibility and inclusiveness in the great city of Chicago. Joining me as a special host today is Maureen Reed. She'll tell you all about herself in just a second, but she is a wonderful staffer here at the Chicago Lighthouse. And of course, our very esteemed guest is Commissioner Karen M. Tamley, Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities here in Chicago. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming into studio today.
Thank you for having us.
Yep, thank you very much.
Maureen, can we start with you? Tell us about your background.
Well, I've worked here at the Chicago Lighthouse for just over 5 years. Initially, I started in our call center and then was made aware of the opportunity to move into my current position as a job placement counselor in employment services. And of course, we along the way added on to that, I'm also our scholarship coordinator. So I like to facetiously refer to myself as a tuition fairy sometimes, which tickles a lot of people. But I'm also totally blind. I lost my vision probably from like 25 to 26 from type 1 diabetes. And I was actually working on a 40,000-acre cattle ranch at the time, teaching outdoor and environmental education outside of San Antonio. And so I moved to Austin and had to basically go through vocational rehabilitation. I went through the state's voc rehab center, Chris Cole, and then moved back up to where my parents lived to finish my undergraduate degree. I got a kidney pancreas transplant along the way, and then I decided it was time to move because one of the things that I saw in a lot of the blind community was sort of a fear of change and new places. So I decided to go full force. Then I moved to Seattle and I did AmeriCorps for 2 years, and that was my return to work. I worked as a service learning coordinator at an elementary school, and then I moved to Worcester, Massachusetts to go to graduate school, and I have a master's in environmental science and policy. And then I moved to Chicago to work on sustainable active transportation for the city in a contract position. So I did pedestrian safety presentations and launched a Safe Routes for Seniors program for the city. There was a contract position. I did that for 2 years, and then I had a gap in my employment, which is what brought me to the Lighthouse and all of the great things that we get to do here. So,
well, you do a fantastic job here at the Lighthouse, and now we know why you have such a rich background. And Commissioner Tamley, please share your background with our audience.
Sure. So I was originally appointed to my position by Mayor Daley and then reappointed to my position by Mayor Rahm Emanuel when he came to office in 2011. My background is doing disability advocacy work in various positions. When I graduated from college out in California, I, like many people, did not know what I wanted to do with my life, and one of my really good friends convinced me to move to Washington, D.C. to do an internship for a disability rights attorney, which I did, and it was a very pivotal internship in the sense that it really kind of set me on the career path that I am on now, which is disability rights. Really there, I, you know, had so many opportunities to learn about the issues, learn about the community, the leaders, the issues. And from that job in Washington, that launched me there to a position in Denver, Colorado, working for a Center for Independent Living, doing housing policy work and actually working to help first-time home buyers with disabilities through a home lending program that we developed with two of the largest banks at the time. From there, I moved to Chicago in 96 and have been here ever since. But when I first moved here, I worked at Access Living in two different positions. One as the housing policy coordinator, doing national housing policy advocacy and fair housing work. But then also after that, I was promoted to the director of programs for Access Living, where I oversaw all of the programs and grants and initiatives of the organization. So, and then after that, I was asked by the mayor's office to interview for my position, which I did, and the rest is history. So I'm really happy to be here today.
Well, you've been on Chris Radio in the past, both on our program, FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, as well as the Beacon Show. And we always are so delighted when you can share time with us.
Sure.
I'd like to just take a moment and read a little bit from your bio that you conveniently left out for our audience, but it's extremely important that we share with them. And one is the Mayor's Office for People with Disability, commonly known as MOPD or MOPID, promotes the full inclusion of people with all types of disabilities and strives to make Chicago the most accessible city in the nation. And through your role here, we feel that we are truly accomplishing that goal. Ms. Tamley leads disability initiatives in the areas of transportation, city infrastructure, emergency planning, education, technology, and employment. She also oversees the delivery of independent living services such as in-home supports, residential accessibility modifications, home-delivered meals, and employment readiness skills to thousands of Chicagoans with disabilities. Commissioner Tamley leads the Mayoral Task Force on Employment and Economic Opportunity, the Financial Advisory Council for the Employment of People with Disability, and Mayor Emanuel's Literacy Task Force. In 2015, the Civic Federation and Motorola Solutions Foundation awarded Commissioner Tamley with the Excellence in Public Service Award, and Leadership Greater Chicago selected her to receive their Distinguished Leader Award for her extraordinary impact. Also in 2015, Commissioner Tamley was appointed by President Obama to serve on the United States Access Board, which develops national accessibility guidelines and standards. And just recently, in March of 2018, she was elected Vice Chair of the Board. Under Commissioner Tamley's leadership, Chicago received the Accessible America Award from the National Organization on Disability, and for 2 years, MOPID was named Best Government Department by the Deaf Illinois. Over 49,000, and I'm sure that number has gone up by now, new curb ramps have been built.
Oh, yes. We're up to over 95,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've got to make some changes there.
And accessible sidewalk cafes were created.
Mm-hmm.
The most progressive accessible building code in the nation exists here in Chicago because of Commissioner Tamley. Some of the most accessible public spaces in the city, like Millennium Park, even a taxicab initiative to increase the number of accessible taxicabs. We do a lot behind the scenes that people might not be aware of, says Tamley, ensuring that the city's emergency plans are inclusive of people with disabilities, for example. Prior to her appointment, Tamley served in management, policy, and advocacy roles at disability organizations, as she's mentioned, in Washington, D.C., Denver, and Chicago. Before her appointment as commissioner, she was the director of programs at Access Living, a center for advocacy and services for people with disabilities in our great city of Chicago. Commissioner Tamley earned a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology from the University of California, Berkeley, and leads a very full and productive family life. And we thank you for that. You know, you've come on our program often in the past just to celebrate Mother's Day, because we always appreciate the fact that you do manage your time so well that you're able to balance family with the high expectations of leading our city. Mm-hmm. And we truly, truly appreciate that. And importantly, Karen Tamley, her husband, Kevin Irving and their daughter, Tomiko. I'm sorry, I just
Dominica.
Dominica Tamley served as co-grand marshals for Chicago's 2017 annual Disability Pride Parade. Thank you, Commissioner Tamley, for all that you do for our great city.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Now, we would like to turn over the program first to our co-host, Maureen Reed, because she has so many questions she'd like to ask you.
Okay, well, yes. I was going to ask, I mean, as she was reading that information, I thought, I wonder, I mean, I moved to Chicago a little bit, it was about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and one of the things that brought me here, other than a job, mm-hmm. was just the idea of how accessible and easy it is as a blind individual to live in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think maybe makes Chicago so easy to get around, to live and work and play in the city? Yeah. Like, what makes it so accessible for all of us if you have some sort of disability?
Yeah, well, I think Chicago has a really strong disability advocacy community that has, for many years, pushed for much of the accessibility that we have today, as well as having the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities there at a high level, right? So I'm appointed by the mayor. I'm in the mayor's cabinet. We're a department of the city of Chicago. You don't always find that in other cities. You see the disability department for whatever municipality it might be, potentially buried under layers of government, right? And mm-hmm. so I think those two things combined have really both the kind of the leadership from the community, but also civic leaders who have embraced disability and accessibility issues as well as the infrastructure of the city and having our office there. I think those things have really made us a city that has gone above and beyond in many respects. I will never, though, say that we are done. I often say that accessibility is in the eye of the beholder, because depending on what disability you have, it may be more accessible to some people than it is to others, or certain things may be accessible to a person with one type of disability and not so great for someone with another type of disability. So I always say that even though we've made a lot of great progress, I don't feel that we're done, and things are always changing, and it's always a challenge to keep up with new programs, new initiatives, things that are getting rolled out and making sure that they are inclusive of people with disabilities. So I think those are the things that really have made Chicago what it is. I think, again, I would love to hear from your perspective, yeah. too, about what you think makes it easy for you to get around. I know as a wheelchair user myself that, you know, the fact that the city is flat is a big deal, because I've lived in very hilly cities, and you mentioned you came from Seattle, uh-huh. which is very difficult for a wheelchair user.
Well, I live downtown, and I walked up that hill and
right,
down
right.
many times.
Yeah. you know, and I think that, you know, we have a really solid public transportation system that provides a lot of coverage of the whole city. You know, we have various options that are, you know, increasing accessibility in terms of like cabs and rideshare and things of that nature that are increasing the options for our community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think those things are kind of key hallmarks for a livable city. You know, I think Chicago is still more affordable than most big cities that I know about. It's not to say that we don't have an affordable housing crisis, because we do. But I think that, you know, it's probably maybe easier to live in the city than it is in some other major U.S. cities where, you know, you would be completely priced out.
Yeah.
So, but I'm curious to hear from you, like, what you think makes this a livable city for you.
Well, I mean, I live, let's say I'm married into my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
My husband owned a condo in Lincoln Park, and
okay.
so we moved there. And one of the things that I like about my neighborhood in particular is, having grown up in Texas, I really appreciate the existence of sidewalks. Right? Yeah. Like, that's number one.
Yes.
Then I can go out my front door and safely walk around using sidewalks.
Yes.
In the suburbs, you know, I ended up walking in the street more often than I wanted
right.
to, or on the side of a road.
Right.
But, you know, the second part of that then is the businesses that are around us, so that mixed-use development,
mm-hmm.
That there's not a huge separation between business development and residential areas, so that
mm-hmm.
we have that where we live.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can access stores and restaurants, and you're not having to, like, get into a car to drive to those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so limiting
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, no, that I get that 100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, obviously, I live right near the Fullerton train station, so access
mm-hmm.
to transit and the bus system and all of the things that they've done to make that accessible as
yes.
well, so that the CSAs are able to help, that there's audio announcements on
the trains,
letting us
yep.
know where the stops are, what train it is, those sorts of details, and that there's recourse if you have challenges with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, transit access is huge for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine recently how ride sharing has really made a huge, significant impact with people with disabilities.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm so grateful that we have access to paratransit and that service. But what I like about those ride sharing services is that there's a lot more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word I'm looking for. Like, I feel a little more independent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not tied to a schedule.
Right. You can
way.
Be more spontaneous with how you live your life. And
absolutely.
I can imagine as a blind person, it's made it so much easier that the vehicle is coming to you versus having to be out on the street hailing a cab and not knowing whether they see you or they're going to drive by. Right.
I mean, there's some comedy in that for sure. The,
yeah.
The accessing cabs. And what
yeah.
I like with ride sharing is that you can text and call the driver of the car directly. There's a communication
yes.
directly between you and that person.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, it's huge.
Right.
Especially with the spontaneity of it. I mean, that's one of those significant things. But then, I mean, I moved here because I had a job.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the employment factor.
Right.
And that's another part of it, that I had a job when I moved here. There was a gap in my employment, but that was during the same time that a lot of people experienced gaps in their employment. And then I ended up at the Lighthouse, and that was initially just, you know, a position that I just wanted to be back in the workforce
mm-hmm.
and have some experience on my resume, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, made aware of this opportunity. And, of course, I love what I do, but I work as a job placement counselor, and so my job now is to
right.
try and create those opportunities and help individuals have those same opportunities for themselves.
Yeah.
I was curious, though, what do you think, so you mentioned like what makes Chicago such an accessible and inclusive city.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think some of the challenges are in that regard right now? Like
mm-hmm.
what are some of the obstacles that you guys are as a office are working to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing is that we're an older city,
mm-hmm.
and so our infrastructure is older. So, for example, you know, 70% of our rail stations are accessible to people who need, you know, an elevator or ramp access to the platform. And so, you know, where you go to newer cities that have newer rail systems or light rail systems, and all the stations are accessible. So, and just the cost that goes into making those accessible. So, you know, that's a project that we've been working on with the CTA to try to reach a goal of 100% accessibility. That is our goal for a legacy system that's over 100 years old. I think the same holds true for, you know, access to public accommodations, particularly in older parts of the city where the buildings are older and, you know, it may be hard and in a very narrow sidewalk to put a ramp in. You know, Lincoln Park could be an example mm-hmm. In some ways of that. So I think for the physical access aspect, you know, that is definitely a challenge. I think the weather is a challenge for a lot of people with disabilities,
yeah.
you know, with extreme cold or snow and constantly having calls received, you know, about, you know, they couldn't drop off me from paratransit in front of my house because of the snow, or I couldn't get to my vehicle because of the snow, or the bus stop, the route to the bus stop or the bus stop itself was layered with snow. I mean, granted, that's only a certain portion of the year, but I think, you know, that is a challenge, certainly, that makes Chicago a livable city in terms of 365 days a year. Yeah, so I mean, I think those are some of the challenges when you're having to particularly to retrofit anything that's old and put in something new versus having the opportunity to do something on a going forward basis.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what I would think is some of the challenges that I see in my job.
Well, Maureen.
Yeah.
You know, you said you work as a job counselor and you were attracted to Chicago because you were able to find employment here,
mm-hmm.
which is very important for people with disabilities because the unemployment rate for those with disabilities is so high. So could you both tell me what is the city doing as well as what you're doing here at the Lighthouse to mm-hmm. help with that situation?
Yeah. So at the city, we do offer a number of programs for job seekers with disabilities. One is that we have a federal grant from the Social Security Administration to help SSI and SSDI beneficiaries go to work for the first time or go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we counsel them on, you know, their benefits and how that interfaces with the potential wages that they would earn. Because as we all know, that's one of the disincentives for people with disabilities to go back to work, that they're afraid to lose their benefits, their disability
it's
income,
huge.
Or their Medicaid, right?
Yeah,
their health care. So in many ways, they're taking a big risk going to work. What if it doesn't work out? You know, can I get back on benefits? There's been all kinds of changes in law that we counsel people on, like trial work periods and, you know, the ability to go back on your benefits or Medicaid buy-in, that type of thing. So that's one thing that we do offer. It's a free service for job seekers with disabilities. We can provide leads on jobs and refer you to job placement and training agencies as well. On the policy front, I should also say that we also work with a lot of Chicago public high school youth with disabilities on employment. So we do we do a big resource event in the fall, and then in the spring we do job shadowing, where we match students up with a business of their choice, a career area of their interest for a day of job shadowing. And then in the summer, through the city's One Summer, City County's One Summer Chicago program, we help get students with disabilities paid summer internships. So this year we're going to be working with 125 high school students with disabilities, getting them paid summer internships, which we've tripled that over the last few years. So we're slowly increasing those numbers
mm-hmm.
every year. But I think one of the bigger things that I've been working on this year is that last July on the ADA anniversary, Mayor Emanuel launched a task force on employment and economic opportunity for people with disabilities. And really that task force is a recognition of the high unemployment rate of people with disabilities and a goal to seek recommendations for moving the needle on unemployment for people with disabilities. So what are the things that the city can do, the mayor can do, the city as a whole to address the unemployment rate of people with disabilities? We are getting close to wrapping up that task force and hope to have those recommendations complete by the summer. So I'm really excited about that because I think on the city level that will lay out a roadmap of kind of policy issues and practices that we could begin to tackle to try to make a dent in this high unemployment rate of our community.
And Maureen?
I mean, just to kind of add to the end of what you just said, I feel like a lot of that comes down to one-on-one interactions between people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go on an interview, when you interact with a potential employer, how they're going to receive and respond to you and how you're going to present yourself
mm-hmm.
is really the basic level of this.
Right.
But what's interesting is a lot of the things that she just mentioned, we're fully involved in that. So she started off talking about the work incentive program. So they have that contract with the Social Security Administration. Well, we partner with their office and have someone come and do a presentation as part of our job club series that I do in the fall and the spring. Because again, there is that huge mental barrier. It's a fear. It's legitimate, but it's a fear because people are so concerned about, you know, rocking the boat. When you start making changes to those benefits,
exactly,
and navigating that process.
I agree. It's like that's a huge barrier. And then sometimes that's overlaid with just low expectations of people with disabilities that they've been kind of fed these messages like, oh, I can't work, or, you know, or maybe haven't been even provided the opportunities to get the skills that they need to work, right?
Well, so you said the One Summer Program, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an opportunity for youth, teenagers, whatever, with young adults with disabilities to get that first job.
Yes.
Which for so many of them, you know, like a normal kid, I don't want to say normal, but you know what I mean? Like
kid without a disability.
Right?
Right.
You know, they might have an easier time going out and getting that first job.
Mm-hmm.
And so for somebody with a disability, you know, that might be a little bit more difficult. There might be more of a challenge there.
Mm-hmm.
So we participated in the one summer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it correctly.
One Summer Chicago?
Yeah. So we participated in that last summer as well. We had students here. I mean, we have a transitional jobs program that we work with referrals from the Department of Rehabilitation Services.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have internship opportunities that are paid. And so we have our low vision clinic where people are able to develop those skills and have some work experience on their resume. I currently have one of my clients doing an internship in our accounting department. So, I mean, the Chicago Lighthouse, it's such a village in some way, all the things that we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, we have a lot of opportunities for people to get that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would love and do love is when people get that experience and build up that confidence. Because even for me, when I went through vocational rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
because I lost my vision, and what I had to do was figure out how to be blind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I going to do this? And so it was a place for me to gain confidence about who I was and what I had to offer, and then go from there and you know, continue my education, continue my work experience, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So so the Chicago Lighthouse is an opportunity for that, for people to get those work experiences. And let's say they lost their vision along the way, or their vision is changing, you know, we still give them that chance to get that experience and then take that and continue to look outside of the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, we only have a minute or so left. I can't believe
how
fast the time has gone.
We should probably mention the event.
Right?
Yeah,
so, the big event.
Yeah, so please share that with us.
So the Lighthouse and the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities are partnering on a jobs event May 9th from 1 to 3:30. It'll be at our field office at 2102 West Ogden.
Right.
Sure, they can find out more info from the Lighthouse as well.
It will be publicized, I think, through both agencies and organization offices. But, you know, the event that I was thinking of, too, like, I'm excited about that event, but really Access Chicago is the thing that's coming up this summer.
Exactly.
That we had such a great time at. It happens every other summer, right?
Yes, and so this year it'll be July 19th at Navy Pier, Festival Hall B. It's going to be in the adjacent Festival Hall from where we've had it in the past due to the construction at Navy Pier, but July 19th, I hope everybody will come out to that. There's going to be over 100 vendors, resources, disability resources, products, you know, fun activities, bring the family. It's also a great networking opportunity to run into old friends and colleagues and meet new people in the disability community. So,
and it'll be so much to do there because you're going to have various adaptive sports and recreational opportunities.
Absolutely.
And there's an employment component to that.
There'll
as well.
Be an employment component. There's going to be kind of a financial component as well this year. And it's free. Best of all, it's free. So it'll be from 10 to 4, I believe.
9 to 4.
9 to 4, I'm sorry. 9 mm-hmm. to 4, we decided to move it up a little earlier because mm-hmm. people tend to come early and not stay as late. So it'll be 9 to 4, Festival Hall B, July 19th at Navy Pier. Hope to see you all there.
So we want you to save the date, July 19th. And, of course, the collaboration date is May 9th. Is that correct?
The hiring event that we're collaborating on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, ladies, would you kindly share the websites where we can get more information?
Sure. For the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, it's cityofchicago.org/MOPD.
And we want to thank Maureen Reed for serving as our very special co-host today. And, of course, our best friend and advocate is Commissioner Karen Tamley. Thank you both for being here today on Chris Radio.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Have a great week, Chicago. Bye now.